Hi, this is Keith Overholt, President and CEO of the Downtown Rescue Mission, coming to you with another story of hope in our podcast, Stories of Hope. And today we have with us our friend Leroy, and we're going to find out a little bit about Leroy today. And I'll say it right up front. I know Leroy's a little nervous, but nothing to be nervous about here today, because we're just here with me and 5 million people watching. No, there's not that many people watching. So Leroy, just tell us a little bit about who you are, how you like where you grew up, and tell us a little bit about your childhood and that kind of thing.
Okay, my name is Leroy Livingston. I grew up in Union Springs, Alabama. It's a small town. I'm 58 years old, and I've always feared God, but as I grew up, I fell off into drugs and alcohol, made some bad decisions, and I just thank God that he let me overcame my drug addiction. I still fall short, but I'm working on it still, and I would like to say that after high school, I joined the Army, and I didn't do so well there. Alcohol, drugs, the reason I didn't, and I went on after the Army. I fell off into my addiction even more. I got married. After a few years, it didn't work out, and I began to be homeless and couldn't hold a job, stuff like that. And as time went on, I've been to prison. I've really made bad decisions, but I thank God that toward me, before I came here, I had burned all my bridges. I really didn't have any way to turn. And I went to a mental hospital, and the doctor referred me to come here. And I would do anything at the time to get off the streets. That's all I was really trying to do at first, was get off the streets. So I came here, and one of the directors kept telling me that, you know, you got a whole year to do nothing but learn about God. And, you know, with me having a Christian background, I thought that was a great idea.
Well, let's start there. So your childhood, you grew up in a small town. Talk about your town. What kind of town was it?
In Union Springs, we only have 4 traffic lights. It's been like that all my life, still to today. And it really no jobs there. I was always seeking jobs in Montgomery. But I loved Union Springs because I knew everybody, and the drugs is pretty easy to access there.
So how far is Union Springs from Montgomery?
It's about 35 miles.
35 miles. So tell me about when you grew up. Did you have mom and dad at home? Or
I did. My mother and father, they was there with me the whole while.
Any siblings? Or
I have 2 sisters. Yeah. My 2 sisters have professional careers. I guess they called me the black sheep. I'm the one that didn't do so good in school. Rebellious, wouldn't study. And my mom died in 2001. And 2 weeks later, my grandmother passed. Well, my grandmother passed first, and then 2 weeks later, my mother passed.
Wow.
And those was the 2 people I probably loved most in my life. And it happened just like that.
Was your grandmother involved in your life like your mom, too?
Yes, she was.
And all in that small town, right?
All in a small town.
So you said you were kind of rebellious. What age did you start thinking you became rebellious?
At 13. When I was 13, I started smoking a little marijuana. I used to see my uncles, and they used to drink and smoke marijuana, and I thought it was cool, you know.
Yeah.
They would flash a little cash, and I thought I wanted to be like them. But as a kid, I didn't know that they didn't have nothing going on for real. It looked good, but they didn't have nothing.
Was it one of those ones where they had a wad of money, the 20 was on the outside, and all the rest were ones?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those that my uncles lived in Michigan. And I guess they would borrow a bunch of money before they come down to visit. Because when we go up to Michigan, that's when I found out that they didn't have.
But you were 13 and you thought that was cool, though.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, they're smoking a little dope and you're like, hey, they got some money. And
money, nice cars.
Yeah. So you have family that's up north as well?
Yes. I have family in Michigan, Ohio, and Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really my youth started in Alaska. When I was actually 13, I had a chance to go to Alaska. I had an aunt get killed in a car accident.
Hmm.
And I went up there. I had cousins older than me, and they was using drugs and stuff also.
How did you have family in Alaska? How was that?
It was through the military.
Oh, okay. So they were at a base up there or something?
Well, they was living off post then.
Okay. But
they had, stayed there after the military.
So talk about that. You said you went up to Alaska to visit because your aunt had died.
Yes.
And somebody introduced you to marijuana for the first time. What was that like?
At first, I think I did a little too much because I didn't like it. I wanted to hide it come off me. But I was stupid enough to try it again. And the second time, I mellowed out pretty good on it. And kept using. And at one point in my life, I decided I wanted to feel like this forever.
Hmm.
I thought that high feeling was a good feeling.
Yeah.
I like to work out, lift weights, and seemed like it would motivate me to do that.
So what were your high school years like, 13 and on? What did you do in high school?
My high school, up to the ninth grade, like I say, I did pretty good up until the ninth grade. After the ninth grade, I didn't do so good. I barely passed 9th, 10th, 11th. And the 12th grade, I ended up, I had to go to summer school. I got a DUI in high school. My daddy gave me a car. And the first day I drove it to school, I got a DUI.
So you were drinking in high school already?
I was drinking in high school, using marijuana.
What, was it something you were doing with friends, or where were you drinking?
I was drinking with friends, but by that time I wanted to be drunk or high all the time.
Yeah.
I like the feeling, as long as I didn't overdo it.
So maybe the reason you weren't passing school so well is because you were drinking?
It ain't no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's tough to concentrate when you're not feeling good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe you're feeling too good, right?
Exactly.
So you were already starting to drink pretty heavily in high school.
Yes.
And marijuana was part of that too, right?
Yes.
And so once you graduate high school, is that when you decide to go into the military?
Yes, I had got a DUI, so basically my mother took the car from me.
Hmm.
But once I got my license back, I just wanted to ride around, and I wasn't doing anything. I just wanted to ride around and, get high and chase girls and stuff like that. And one day my mother told me I had to make a decision. I got to do something, go to school, get a job, do something. And I had already took the ASVAB in high school. And one day I got fed up with her and I decided that I need to call the recruiter. So that year in November, I left and went in the Army. I did 4 years in regular Army. I got out regular Army. Basically, I did get an honorable discharge, but my military background ain't so good.
What years were you in the 4 years that you served?
I served from 85 to 89.
Okay.
And after that, I joined the National Guard. I got in Alabama National Guard. I did 2 years there. And basically, I AWOL'd out of that. I was in my hometown using drugs. And we had police officers that I drilled with. They knew what I was doing. And so I just quit going. I left it alone.
You know, in high school, was it just the feeling, or was there some other reason that you were drinking and drugging already in high school? Was there something in the background that you're trying to, you know, mellow yourself out from, or?
Well, I think I wanted to be a tough kid, but I wasn't as tough as I wanted to be. And I felt like the drugs, well, at least marijuana, I feel like it motivated me to lift weights and to. If I watched the wrestling on TV, if I get high, I think I thought I could do some of those moves and stuff. And I think that was a big part of it.
You want to be part of the WWF?
Yeah, I wanted to be a part of it.
What name would you have picked if you were?
Well, my nickname is Speed.
Yeah.
I probably would have said, called myself the Little One.
The Little One?
Yeah.
So you've been Speed the Little One out there on the... Would you have worn a mask, or would you have been out there...
No, I wouldn't have worn a mask. Yeah. I think I'm pretty enough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to make sure you showed it off, right?
Yeah.
So, but when you're, you know, in high school and then starting into the military, there's just something for you that you got to be either getting drinking or drunk or high or.
Yeah. For some reason, once I started drinking and drugging, I wanted to always feel like that. And this is one of the first times really in my life that I've been sober since then. You know, I thank God for that. And since I've been sober, I found out that I don't have to be drunk or high to be a clown or to laugh and have fun. You know, that's one thing I appreciate this program for. You know, it kept me grounded long enough for me to really see that.
Yeah. So military, and then you get out. What are you doing with your life at that point?
I started using real heavy after the military.
Now, is it just alcohol and marijuana still, or
at that time? Yeah. I'm drifting off into the cocaine, crack, and stuff. After 91, when I got out of the National Guard, my drug usage led me to prison. I started actually using cocaine. I was working at Waffle House. And I used to work third shift Waffle House. And my manager, he was doing it. And I felt like, and he told me that it would keep me up, that I would stay awake, you know, because I was going to school in the daytime and working at night.
Well, you probably saw that you were smoking too much marijuana, that you weren't, you know, you weren't as up as you should be, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
He knew he'd get a little bit more work out of you, maybe, yeah, right? Yeah,
exactly. And so that, and then I was trying to hide my what I was doing from people, too. I felt like cocaine was cleaner. You know, you don't smell it, you know. And I could get away with it. I really thought I could get away with it. But I never did like stuff going up my nose. I was on it for a while, but it never was what I liked.
Is that why you got into crack?
That's why I got into crack.
And crack was real popular back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Real popular. Yeah. It was this thing to do. I say it's a thing that just changed the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, it changed. It changed things, definitely for me.
So when you're getting out of the military and you're getting a little more into stuff, now, what part of your life were you getting married? Was it during that time? Or?
Well, after the military and the events that went on a little after, I went to prison. I ended up you know.
Now, can you say what you went to prison for? Or?
I went to prison for burglary and theft. Hmm. You know, I broke in Bullock County Courthouse. I had paid a fine there. My dad had gave me. It was an annex then. They was renovating the original warehouse. And what his annex was, it was an old factory that I used to work in. Hmm. And I basically knew my way around, and I knew how to get in the building without going through the front door. Hmm. So I paid a fine one evening, and I seen the lady put it in just a regular desk drawer because, like I said, it was an annex. And my daddy sat and watched me pay the fine. And later on that night, I had some extra money left. Later on that night, I started using drugs, and I walked past this annex when I was on my way home. Hmm. And I thought about, hey, I know how to get in there. And straight up, I went right in there and went right to the money. I got a little over $3,500. The deputy sheriff, he knew me because I used to drill with him. When they did catch me, he told me if I had went to the next drawer, I would have got $17,000 cash. Wow. He said it was $17,000 cash.
Wow.
In the drawer. But I took that and I ran. Hmm. And I went out with some friends. I didn't want them to know what I had done, but I had a lot of loose cash. And they figured something had I had did something. Hmm. But all everybody wanted to do at the time was get high.
Yeah.
And later on the next day, when the heat get on, you know, the police, they doing an investigation that somebody broke in the courthouse. These so-called friends bring my name up. Hmm. And they finally catch me and arrest me. And they didn't really have any evidence. But my mother, she came to the jail and she asked me, did I do it? At first, I told her no. And as I stood there and looked at her, you know, she told me to tell her the truth, that she would help me, but don't make a fool out of her. And I could look at my mom and tell that I had been worrying her, you know. I could tell her that she was aging and all that. Hmm. And just like I said, I got a Christian background.
Yeah.
And some told me that, you know, to tell the truth. And I looked under my mat. It was a Jehovah Witness Awakening book there. It said, a blessing ain't always when something good happened. Hmm. And I thought about that. And I confessed to it. And just like the books say, that the best, one of the best things I ever done, you know, I got it all behind me. I did 4 years, 7 months in prison.
What prison were you in?
All over the state.
All over the state. They kept transferring you?
Yeah. I went to Limestone, Bullock, Ventress, Easterling, Elmo.
Were you on any of the work crews that went outside the?
I did. Yeah. I finally gained custody. I went on the outside. And it was one of the best things that ever happened. I freed myself. I came closer to God then. But during that time, every chance I got, I would get high.
Yeah. And you could still do that in prison.
Yes, I could still do that in prison. If you have the resources, you can do it.
Now, it's not just high. Could you still get alcohol in prison?
The alcohol I didn't drink in prison because it's mainly homemade.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I know, and they don't make it in such a great place either. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
For those who don't know, a lot of times they'll make it in a toilet, right? And let it ferment in the toilet, and then they drink it after that.
Yeah, the alcohol go through a process before you drink it.
Well, it's probably good you stayed away from that. So how were you able to get drugs in prison?
Well, okay. My mother would send me money. It wasn't real extreme when I was in the hardcore, like level 4 custody prison. But when I got my custody, I had community custody. And this was at Red Eagle. And I worked at Alabama Surplus. It's a place where the state bring a lot of old stuff in to be auctioned off. And there, it was two big boxes of military boots that had never been used, like brand new. And I was actually, I liked it, got in big time trouble behind it. I was actually stealing those boots, taking them back into the camp, selling them to guys. And I had a pretty good drug habit at Red Eagle.
Yeah.
And it finally caught up with me. I failed a urine test, and they took 6 months good time and shipped me back to Elmo. And
so you had to serve a little more time because you were doing drugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens once you finally get out of prison?
Got out of prison. Okay, during the time I was in prison, all I wanted was a woman. Hmm. I said, the first woman I get, I'm going to marry if I think she loved me.
That could be a problem. I'm kidding.
And that's what I did. I got out of prison in 97. I didn't use as much when I got out because I didn't want to use. But one thing I knew, I said I'll never go back. Haven't went back so far. But I did meet a female, my wife, my ex-wife now. And I married her. I married her in 99. And we was together until 06. And we divorced in 06, mainly because of my usage and stuff like that.
So you got back into it once you got married?
I did.
When you were married, were you working and stuff, or how was that going?
I was working, but I wouldn't keep a job. I was always fired. And I always had these big dreams where I wanted houses, new cars, and stuff like that. And she'll go along with me. And I would step out there and say, get a car, whatever. A month later, I ain't working no more. Getting behind in bills. And basically, she got tired of me being unstable like that. And one day she told me, she said, Leroy, I love you, but you're taking me down. And I knew it was the truth. And that kind of hurt my feelings. And
did she know you had addiction?
She didn't know I had an addiction when we married, but soon after, she knew.
Yeah.
Because money was disappearing. And
were you still into crack at that time?
Oh, yeah. I've been into crack all the way up until present.
Wow.
Yeah.
So towards 2006, things aren't working out, and you guys finally get divorced? And
yes, we get divorced. But right before we get divorced, I go to truck driving school, become a truck driver, and I went out on the road, and just after the divorce, and I met another girl, and it was basically the same. You know, I drove trucks and all for 13 years, and every day I was scared I was going to have an accident. It wasn't that I was using while I was out on the road, but it was in my system.
Yeah.
And
so it would have tested either way. Even if you weren't high at the time, they still would have known you had been.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I used to be real fearful of that. I would drive for a while, get fired, not for drugs. I never did fail a drug test, but I would get fired because of drugs.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't get tested.
Yeah.
And I would do any little ordinary job because I always knew I would go back on the road whenever I would get clean enough to. And
so you were over the road trucker, did you see a lot of the country, or?
Yes, I've been everywhere.
Wow.
I've seen everything out there. And after a while, it got boring to me. And I came in and I started back working for Waffle House. And there I met a female, and we stayed together about 12 years. You know, I really loved her. We
never got married?
We never did get married, but she was on drugs, and I didn't know it. I didn't even know. You know, I thought I was the one, couldn't be tricked like that. Everything, when I met her, everything she had was paid for, I guess, through the last divorce she had. So therefore, you know, when we worked, we had basically a paycheck that we could drug with. And
but you never did it together. You didn't know that she had drugs?
For about the first 5 years, I didn't even know because, you know, I didn't. I knew she was taking Xanaxes and stuff like that. But I figured that she needed that for...
But not the hardcore stuff, that you didn't know about the other stuff.
No, I didn't know about the other stuff at all.
What was her drug of choice?
Crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether, after she found out I was using, I don't know whether that brought her out the closet. I believe she was using all the time. I really don't know. But I know one day that she knew that I was using, and she was mad at me, and she told me, if you want some crack, I know where some I'm at. And she introduced me to the guy, to a guy that I knew that sold crack. And from there, she opened up and came out the closet with it. And we lived like that probably for about 7 years. And
it's a tough way to live, though.
It was. You know, it was always drama in the house. It was always something. And we did that for 7 years. And about 2 years ago, I got fed up because I know with my age and stuff, it's time for me to quit. And